tampoco ya que se nail. We know that sometimes
what day?
Now hold on, day 69.
Okay, I'll go down and check. Okay,
back to check. So now we're talking about the fine appetite. But it's time right to the top. It is permitted, and at times even a mitzvah, to speak Lashon Hara about an apikaris. What is apikaris? Someone who denied the Torah or the prophecies of Israel. Either the written Torah or the oral Torah. Even if he says that he believes in the entire Torah, except for one verse or one law, which is derived from the Torah through the principles transmitted at Sinai, he's apikaris. Doesn't take too much to be apikaris. Say, I don't believe in one thing, and you're finished. You're already apikaris. However, in our day, it's difficult to relate to this halakha. This is because the typical non-observant Jew today is a far different personality from the non-observant Jew of Europe a century or two. There was a time in the not-too-distant past when the vast majority of Jews were observant of every point of halakha. The winds of change, which were first felt in Germany some two centuries ago, led to the Enlightenment, from which later developed Reform Judaism, Jewish socialism and communism, and other movements which sought to uproot authentic observance of Judaism. It was in this heretical climate that many, including young men and women, had been raised in observant home, were swept up by awful momentum of the time and abandoned the ways of their forefathers. They were saying, not these days, someone doesn't keep mitzvah, it doesn't mean they deny Hashem. Doesn't mean they're up in chorus. We can't speak Lashon Hara about them. Right? Because they just don't know anything. As we spoke about earlier, the Rambam called them like a tinuk shinishmet, like a child who's captured among the grave. However, it's a mitzvah, so let's say we have someone who is a real up in chorus. It's a mitzvah to speak derogatorily about up in chorus, to publicize his weaknesses so that the innocent will know to keep a distance from him and not fall prey to his influence. However, the average non-observant Jew in our day has a status of a tinuk shenishba, a child who is captured by Gentiles, and therefore is forbidden to speak Lashon Hara about him. As Chaim stresses, we cannot assume that someone is apikaris based on hearsay. We can consider someone apikaris if we personally heard him make a heretical statement, or through the consistent reports throughout the community of the person's behavior placed in this category. Chavetz Chaim said he knows that certain people will use this as a license to speak Lashon Hara. Nevertheless, Chavetz Chaim says, the verse says, for the ways of Hashem are straight, the white righteous shall walk in them, and the sinners will step over them. The Torah is the Torah of truth. And when followed faithfully, it guides a person along the path of truth. When a person bends the Torah to fit his own will, then the Torah's power has to guide. The Torah's power to guide the person is lost. He turns straight by his own desire. Basically, someone who wants to twist the Torah, then he loses its power of straightening us out. If we want to be straight and read it to what it says, then the Torah will lead us on a straight way. We try twisting it, so we'll take the turn, the Torah will go the wrong way. Fine.
You're so bright.
Okay. I'm not so bright.
Where are we holding?
Too much, bright, too much.
Too much.
We're holding now in Yud Beis Amud Beis. We're holding now by Tanur Rabbanan, which is when it started again from Tanur Rabbanan, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 13 lines from the top.
12B?
12A, Yud Beis Amud Aleph.
12A.
13 lines from the wide lines.
13 from the wide? Or from
13
from
the wide.
From the wide.
13 from the wide.
Okay.
Good. No. Tanur Rabbanan. We learned in the Brayta. This is referring back to our Mishnah, right? Really, it starts on the line before that. We're quoting, it says, Reseach, Sheyasa, Chuslat, Chum, Chum, Hashem's help, we try to learn some Torah, make Hashem's name great.
I'm sorry, one
more,
13 lines from the
Y
lines?
Yeah. Tan Rabban. Tan Rabban. The Pazik says, you don't see it? The second word on the line. Yud Beit Namad Aleph.
Yeah, sorry.
Fine, say 14, whatever it is. Good. Tana Rabbanah. V'ratzach Gol Hadam. As the Pasuk says, the Gol Hadam kills the Ritzayah. One man ever wants to say, Mitzvah Biyad Gol Hadam. It's a mitzvah for the Gol Hadam. Not a Rishon, it's a mitzvah. He has to kill it. He has a mitzvah, he has to kill the Goyal Hadam. Good? That's according to the first one. But a Goyal Hadam, a Legit, he has no Goyal Hadam available. He's, let's say, he's a Ger or something. He has no redeemer, he has no relative. A Goyal Hadam, Rishus, then it's a Rishus, he has called Adam. It's a Rishus, it's a permitted for any other person to kill the murderer. The Rabbi Yisrael Gli, that's all Rabbi Yisrael Gli, that's Shita number one. So basically he says, it's a mitzvah, the Goyal Hadam to kill the murderer. Rabbi Akiva says, no. It's one notch lower. Rishus b'yad Goyal Hadam. It's a Rishus for the Goyal Hadam. Right? It's a Rishus in the hand of the Goyal Hadam. V'chol Adam chayiv et alav. The Goyal Hadam has a Rishus, it's permitted to him. But anyone else who would kill the Goyal Hadam is chayiv, he's liable, meaning no one else is allowed to kill him. So rather than two shitas, yeah? Rabbi Yosef Glili says, it's a mitzvah for the relative. For all other people, it's one notch lower, it's permitted, but you don't have to kill it. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's one notch lower. For the relative, it is a rishus, it's permitted. For everyone else, it is usher, you're not allowed to kill it. Because it seems logical that a regular person is one notch lower than the Goyal Hadam. The Torah gives a mitzvah to the Goyal Hadam to kill it. It's logical to understand that the Goyal Hadam, that the everyone else will always be one level lower. My time was Rav Yosef Glili. What's the reason for Rav Yosef Glili? Why did Rav Yosef Glili say that the word Veratzach means the mitzvah? The Gemara says, Miksiv, does it say Imratzach? Does it say if you want you could kill? Does it say if you want you could kill? It says Veratzach. So I want to understand, Zeratzach means you should kill him, it's a path, it's telling you a mitzvah, you should kill him. That's what Rabbi Yisrael Glili holds. Good? The fact that it didn't say, Imratzach, if you want, you can. Therefore, it means you should kill him. Rabbi Akiva, what does Rabbi Akiva say? Miksiv Yirtzach? Rabbi Akiva said, does it say the word Yirtzach? It does say, you shall kill him. It says, Zeratzach, you killed him. Basically, the Torah says a very powerful lesson. It says, Zeratzach. Zeratzach. Goyal Hadam is a Ritzeh. Goyal Hadam kills the Ritzeh. I don't know if that meaning if it's optional or it's obligatory. That's the machlok to read here in Vikki. How to read this Gemara. Come the third opinion. Amar Mar Zutra Bar Tovya. Amar Rav Mar Zutra Bar Tovya. Says in the name of Rav that Ritzeh Sheyatzah Chutz Lachon. For a tzeiach came out of the tchum, umasa goyal hadam barven. The goyal hadam finds him, kills him. Nerag alav, you get killed on it. Meaning, we're going to kill the goyal hadam. So if the tzeiach steps out of bounds, the goyal hadam comes and kills him. We kill, then the goyal hadam is liable for killing someone on purpose. We're going to kill him. That's Allah. The Rashi says, "Come on, who's this like? Like who?" Like Rabbi Yosef Glili, it's not like Rabbi Yosef Glili, right, who told us that it's a mitzvah to kill him. But like Rabbi Akiva said, it's a rishus. You're telling us, also you're not allowed to kill the guy. Where do you get that from? Where's the pindi come from? Where is this halacha of Rav Kahn? Who's this like? So my answer is not a problem. Who the Amar he said ki high time like this time? This Rav is going along the lines of this time. It's a third opinion. Tanya, we learned Rabbi Yezer, Ayim Rabbi Yezer says, we have a pasuk. The pasuk says, Ad amda l'pnehe eida l'mishpa. Right? Which means, until you stand in front of the eida l'mishpa, which means what really the Bach says, if you look at the Bach by the base, see that there's a, in real, Ad amda, the Rashi base in parentheses. The Rashi base takes this Dagos HaBach. Dagos HaBach is on the right side of the page, which should be the second thing on the right side of the page. And by that base, in the Rashi letters, in the Rashi parentheses, so Rashi base in parentheses, what does the Bach say? It says, Shama with the Rabbi Yezer Omer Ad Omer. It says, Nun Be, Nira Be'ena. It seems in my eyes. Rashi, the quote, we mean to bring the beginning of the pasuk, which begins, V'lo Yomos HaRetech Ad Omer V'gomer, etc. Saying, even though our text brings the end of the pasuk, but the main point is, from the beginning of the pasuk. That was the beginning of the pasuk. So what does the pasuk say? If you look at the fancy Gemara, look at pasuk Vav. What does the pasuk say? The umata oisei gol hadam. The gol hadam finds him. Michutz l'gvar ir miklatay. The gol hadam finds him outside the border of the ir miklat. The rata gol hadam as a retzeh. And the gol hadam kills the retzeh. Elonav, sorry, next pasuk by Zayin. Minimum pasuk. V'hoi v'chem ha'aron l'miklat. The city should be a place of refugee. The goyel, the lo yamos haretzeach, and the retzeach, you should not kill the retzeach, ad amdil p'nei lo mishpat, until he stand in front of the eidah lo mishpat, until he gets judged. So what are we saying? What's he trying to say in this passage? What does he want to say? He's trying to say that you're not allowed to kill the Goal Adam. The Goal Adam is not allowed to kill the Ritzeah. Is that what this pasuk says? But Fred, that's what this pasuk tells you. What's my sister saying? How do you learn about sister? What's my sister telling you?
Not allowed to kill until he's been judged by the basis.
Well, and Rabbi,
and convicted.
So he's not arguing at all in Rabbi Segli, the end of Rabbi Kiva? Morris said, what do you mean? It's a new opinion. And don't worry, it's not a problem. It's Rabbi Eliezer. But you're telling me that Rabbi Yehuda is just telling me you can't kill him until he's convicted. Then once he's convicted, you could kill him?
Right there in Bestin, yeah.
What do you mean by that right there in Bestin? Specifically in Bestin. So it's kind of a strict sheet that you're only allowed to kill him according to the first two opinions, Rabbi Yehuda Glevi and Rabbi Yehuda Glevi and Rabbi Kiva. You're killing him out of Vesta. He's on the run, you're killing him. Once it's a mitzvah, once it's a rishos. Kadar Eliezer the answer, no, you're not allowed to kill him. Once he's out of Vesta, you can't kill him. If you're invested by the trial, they say the shaggy, you pull out your gun and kill him, fine. Once he leaves, you're not allowed to kill him just because he stepped out of bounds. There's no such thing as killing him anymore. That's our Eliezer. So therefore, he stepped out of our mikla, and the Gualdam kills him. Mechayim Nisi, you have no more permission to kill him. That's Shitas Rabbis. We have very extreme Shitas. We have Rabbi Yosef Glevi. Who says that the Gualdam steps, if the Ritzeach steps out of the Armikl to shoot him? It's a mitzvah. That's one of it. Comes Rabbi Kiva, says, no, it's not a mitzvah, it's a Rishos. Kadar will Yezer and says, no, you're not allowed to kill him. If you kill him, you get killed. So it's.
But you're talking about three different times.
No, all at the same time. Once the guy's finished in Armikl, it's like this. Everyone agrees before he gets sentenced, you're not allowed to kill him. No, everyone agrees you're not allowed to kill him. Before he gets sentenced, before Bestin decides, they pass him, he was in the shogeg, because it could be it wasn't his fault. We don't know the story. Good? So, you're not allowed to kill him until he goes to them. Once he invested, they say, he killed the shogeg. He killed by mistake? So, according to Eliezer, you're only allowed to kill him right now. Invested. Once you leave Bestin, you're not allowed to kill him. Now, once he leaves Bestin, and he's on the run, well, let's say, and he steps out of Aryan Mikkel, there's going to be three opinions. Either it's a mitzvah to kill him, the Gualdam is a mitzvah. Or it's a rishos, it's just he has permission to kill him. Or you're not allowed to kill him. And if you get killed, you get killed. That's what we have. We have three opinions. So okay, let's hear Rabbi Eliezer inside again. Rabbi Eliezer says, go, do you understand what's coming out? Rabbi Eliezer says, you're only allowed to kill a guy invested. You're allowed to kill a guy, Rabbi Eliezer. That's why the name of Rav, the third chief. The name of Rav, which the Gemara says, who's that? We said it's Rabbi Eliezer. He says, once he leaves, that's the analogy. So one kid you kill, you ask me, Right, Akiva asked you, what do you Pesukim say the Goel Adam can't kill him? Now the Goel Adam can't kill him only in Besin. Not before, not after. Before, we don't know. What?
Yeah,
you're allowed to kill him, but at that point, once he leaves and he steps out of bounds, Mikol, we don't care, you're not allowed to kill him. Of course, now, what's Rav Nirv Eliezer? What it says,
then why would they send
them
with two
Indian
or two whatever to
protect him? That's complicated. So the people you wouldn't need. No, first of all, like this. The people you would send them Stam is like to convince the guy anyway not to kill him, but you wouldn't be allowed to kill him. It's really awesome. Like he was asking, if according to Eliezer, the Goel Adam can't kill him anyway, let's say he walked out of Beis Din here, so on his way to Ari Mikla. Right? We had a Gemara earlier that says that we have to send him with two rabbis to make sure they don't kill him. It's true. According to Eliezer, the Goel Adam is not allowed to kill him at that point. The mission is going. I mean, our mission is to tell him that we're never going through Eliezer. We're just picking it up now, telling him, by the way, the Sechu Shita, because my Zutra brought it down. But really, it's not like a mission is never went with this Eliezer. Up until now, we never talked about this Eliezer. This whole thing we said that they bring the Eidim, they send the Rabban, and Pasha is not in Eliezer. Good? Fine. So let's see inside again Eliezer. What does Rabbi Eliezer say? Rabbi Eliezer, Ad amdeh l'fnei ha'ed al ha'mishpat. Till you stand in l'fnei ha'ed al ha'mishpat. Till you stand l'fnei ha'ed al ha'mishpat. What does that mean? That means until you stand in front of the ha'mishpat, that's when we could kill you. If you look at the pasuk, it says that he can't kill you until, but he says only at that stage is when he can kill you, no, not before, not after. That is really yes. My type of life. Lafisha, that since it says, Russell, Koyal Adam is a Ritzayah, the Koyal Adam is allowed to kill the Ritzayah, Yachom Yad. I would think the Koyal Adam kill the Ritzayah immediately. Only at that stage. Right? You would think the Koyal Adam could kill the guy right immediately. He kills his relative, he can kill him. No, you have to wait till when, till in front of Beis Din. And also, they explain, it means also not afterwards. Only at the stage you're in Beis Din.
So,
what's going to be out? Well, as long as the Beis Din says he's guilty for killing B'Shagig, until he walks out.
Is that
based
on the weapons?
Yeah, he's trying to bring a gun. Yeah, well, maybe take it away until we decide if it's B'Shagig, and we give that to you.
Or are they talking about that the court convicts him and he's supposed to die and he has the
what are you supposed to die? The court convicts him that he killed by mistake.
No, but what about the other situation where he's convicted, he's supposed to die and they have the Goel Adam kill him?
And so they really, the Goel Adam could kill him. Really, the first mitzvah over there is on the Eidim. If it was a case when it was the Mazid over there, the first people who would kill him is the, if I read correctly, is the witnesses. And also the Goel Adam, you're right, the Goel Adam also there, if he's around, he could also be part of the film. Can't be a card. What do they do with this pasuk? Rabbi Eliezer just told me that this pasuk teaches me you're only allowed to kill him in Beis Din. What about if you don't hold like that? What do they use this pasuk for? To drush. And Gemara says, "Whom we violate, they needed to make a drush on the Tani. We went to the Brisa." Rabbi Akiva says, "Minayin l'Sanhedrin sheroh echad shaharik sanefesh." How do we know if you have a Sanhedrin that they saw, the three people Sanhedrin saw, who may kill Shimon? How do we know she'ein mamis in oisam that they cannot kill them ad shiyama the best in achar until they stand in another best? Let me ask you a question. What's the point of witnesses coming in front of the judges to testify the story happened? What happened? You come to the best, witnesses come in front of a judge and tell them the story. Let's say the judges saw the story firsthand. Maybe they should be able to kill the guy automatically. No? What's the point of witnesses? Witnesses come, and what do the witnesses do? They come, they testify, they tell the judges about this information. Now let's say the judges saw firsthand. Maybe they should be able to go ahead and kill this guy. Three judges saw Ruben kill Shimon. Should be able to kill him.
The idea of witnesses is that you can cross-examine them and examine their testimony.
People, they don't need to examine the testimony. They are the judges.
They know it's true.
They know it's true. They watch them do it.
So maybe they should be able to be the judges. Nachon? Well, let them be the judges. They judge. Finish. Go kill him. Finish. You don't need new. Right? Kazapazit is no. You can only kill someone once it stood in the court. It had to be your official testimony court, which means that these with Dayan and these judges have to go to another court and testify. So Talmud Lomer ad Amdai Mafneha Eidah Mishpat. We only kill him until once he stands in front of the congregation for judgment. Ad Sheyamit, until he stands the best in Acher and another best in. That's what Rabbi Eliezer, that's what the Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yitzchak would do with this pasuk. So again, what happened? Rabbi three shittas. Rabbi Yitzchak really says it's a mitzvah to kill the kol adam. Now the Kiva says Rishus. Rishus says you're not allowed to kill him. If you kill him, you're chai. Why? Because you're not allowed to kill him. There are three opinions. Mitzvah Rishus or you're chai. If you kill him, the kol adam, kill him, you're chai. You're not allowed to kill him. You're not allowed to kill him. Now, where did he get this from? How did he get this from? So he says the pasuk says, well, yomus haritzaya. The word said the murderer shouldn't die until he stands before the aid, before the congregation, which was to get judged. Which he understood that Pazi means you only let to kill him in this stage. Not before the court case and not after. Only until he stands before the mission. You can't kill him. You can't kill him until he stands. So therefore, if the Goladam kills him, he's not allowed to kill him. So what did Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Akiva do with this pasuk? Because they hold you're allowed to kill him. Nachon? What did Rabbi Eliezer learn from this pasuk? Rabbi Eliezer used this pasuk to teach me that you're not allowed to kill the Goal Adam once before Besdin or after Besdin. Right? Because as we look, before the congregation, you can't kill him unless you're in that situation. Good? Now what about Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Akiva, who hold you can kill him after the court case? Right? So what are they going to do with this pasuk? So say, no, they use this pasuk for a different halacha. They teach me that let's say the three dayanim, these three judges, they themselves saw Ruvei kill Shimon. Maybe they just go ahead and say, okay, who is deserves to die? Say, no. They have to go first in front of another court, and then testify that they saw Ruvei kill Shimon, they kill him. That's what this pasuk means. But the murderer should not die until he stands in front of another bestin to be judged. That's not halacha is teaching you. That the judge of this woman saw a story, there's never official testimony in court, it doesn't work. You have to go in front of another best and be judged. That's machlokes.
The aid cannot be the shofar.
Correct. The aid can't be the shofar.
So really by omission, or really else is holding that there would be a
shofar. Not necessarily, because there's another drug. Our mother doesn't go through it, but there's another Gemara, and there's Shoshana, they bring them in, it says a different reason why. There's another reason also why they can't be judges, because if the Maharaj Shana has their reason, why? Because they bring them here. What the Maharaj Shana say? The Maharaj Shana says that there's a special, there's another pasuk. The pasuk says, we try to send for the guy who's getting killed, right? We want to spoil, but we try to save his neck, right? The Hitzel, Saratina. So the only way you could do that is if you're another judge, you can try to find a way to find the heter, find the reason why he's not chai. So that's the Gemara Shana. So the other also would need it. But you're right. From this Gemara, we're coming out and realize doesn't need it. From that Gemara, yes.
So does it still apply to Shogun?
You kill in the case of Shogun. Is what still applies?
Yes.
According to.
Yes, it still applies. No, this is an intentional kill.
No, it's all in Shogun. In Shogun, with three opinions.
Okay. So this says you can't kill him if he can't before, and the decree is given, or how he just stands there.
No, Evan, once the decree is given, it means once he stands there, obviously.
Very small window.
Very small window, yeah. The Goal Adam, according to Eliezer, there's a very small window to get killed, not fun.
The hard thing to wrap my head around is the fact that we're talking about an accidental killing here. I mean, I understand why the Goal Adam would be upset and go after it. Or maybe even begin the commission. The rest of them, I'm kind of lost.
It's nice help me understand the Gemara. How does it work? Question. You have to remember, we brought a good right. We're iron still bothered. Why is the Goel Adam killing somebody? Why is the Goel Adam allowed to kill a person who killed by mistake? So, really, we had a Gemara earlier that said that this guy who killed by mistake is not a Tzaddik. If you kill by mistake, then you're a Russian. That's first of all. Right? If Hashem wants, he'll end up getting killed. If not, he'll spend time doing our Chub and our Mikvah. meaning we brought that he's not the biggest tzaddik. He's a rush. Said, make sure you tell me that we're not Rishayim, because if he's a rush and he's going to kill someone for Shaggy, and the Aramikla, you're going to be going there with him. So don't have something to do with the Rishayim. Remember, that's not so simple. This guy's not such a tzaddik, meaning obviously. Even though he killed by mistake, he's not such a tzaddik. That's the thing Warren said earlier. Good?
Yeah.
You understand a little bit of this. Makes it a little bit more understandable.
If
he could do tshuva, it's not so simple. If he does tshuva, because the shaykh also, it's not so simple. But I say he could do tshuva. Even if amazing, if he does tshuva, he can end up doing it.
Yeah.
If he does real tshuva. But b'shaykh also, b'shor b'shaykh, he could do tshuva. No, then he admit, it's us, that's a good chance. If he's a gala dam. So if it's a mitzvah, for sure you're allowed. You had a mitzvah to kill somebody.
Right, and if it's...
it's a reshus.
My question was, according to Rabbi Yossi, the Tan Rabbanan Gemara says that if there is no gala dam, because if there is no gala dam,
right,
it's a reshus to someone else. I was like, Cohen wants to hire his friend to do the job because he doesn't want to get his hand play.
So there is a gola dam. No, you're a good question. You're saying, well, if, according to the opinion, it's a reshus. You're asking, if you hold it, you don't have to kill it. So reshus, is a coin allowed to do such a thing? Is a coin considered a murder if he kills it?
Right.
That's a good question.
You don't have to. You could hire something.
A reshus is not a murder. Even if it's a reshus, so what does reshus mean? It means, when we say mitzvah, it means you're chai to do this mitzvah. Reshus means we gave you permission. Still, the Torah said you should do it. Meaning, even if it's a reshus, it's telling you, we gave you permission. I don't know, it's a good question.
Right,
but now you don't have to hire him. He has his own. He can do it on his own. You don't have to hire him. He can do it on his own.
Not according
to the Tanur Rabbanan. See, why can't you... I say, Shush. That means you're not to hire somebody. You never let to hire somebody. It's you doing yourself a nothing. You can't hire somebody. Shush, come on, you're making your shush. How do you hire anybody to do it? It's either you or nobody. According to...
Oh, it says you mean...
Then it's nothing. Then I'll do it.
Just decides to do it on his own.
Oh, why do we let the Gaal Adam kill a person? Something the Torah says, if we know you're going to do something on purpose, and you're going to do it in Avir, we'll let you do it. If we know the Yitzhar is so strong, then we'll let you do it. Rather, this is Parsha. This coming was Parsha. Right, when you go to war, you find a lady, you're taken captive. Why is the Torah, why do we let you? Because Rashi, the Chazal that say, that we know if we're not going to let you do it, you're going to do it anyways. So we might as well make it much of you. So coming to Gaal Adam also is the same type of concept. Yeah, if you're not going to do it, certain cases, certain lets, certain situation in war, you're stressed out, I don't know. Sometimes the Torah says, they weren't on the battlefield. You went and you took the captain. Took over the whole place, so you just shoot you with the captain.
Rashi
says, first of all, one of the Ishmael, right, they used to send the ladies on purpose.
Yeah,
to distract them. See, they were smart. They tried to send a woman to war. Distract them.
Hopefully you'll see that
that's all they said, they want to put a war.
The guy always knew that was
the next to the... Fine, very good. Let's see. Fine, let's see the next one. We'll do the Rashi before the rest of them. So then, let's see the next one. Fine, let's see the next one. The next Tanur Rabbanan. Ready for the next one? Basically, it's quite clear. It's either a mitzvah to kill the guy, it's a shush, or you're not allowed to kill the guy. Three opinions. And that's what we're coming out. Tanur Rabbanan.
Did we cover Russia?
We saw, there's no Rashi on this. There was one Rashi we saw it last time. Tanu Rabbanan. The Pasuk says, "Im yotze yotze haritzeach." But it was referring to if the Ritzeach leaves Ari Mikla, when the Ritzeach leaves Ari Mikla. And we say, you're allowed to kill the Ritzeach, right? Not according to Eliezer, according to everyone else. If the Ritzeach steps out of bounds, the murderer stepped out of bounds. Rabbanan, what's that lacha?
Hit it.
Now, what happens if he stepped out of bounds by mistake? Tanu Rabbanan. If Yatsu, Yatsu Ritzia. The Torah says a double terminology. If he leaves, Eli El Mazin. I only know if he went out the Mazin, if he went out by mistake. If the Ritzia stepped out of bounds of the Ari Mikla on purpose, fine. Then you're allowed to kill him. Eliel b'mezik. B'shogeg minayin. How do we know if it was b'shogeg minayin? How do we know if he left by mistake? He didn't realize where he was walking. He was deep in thought. He stepped out of our mikvah, out of the boundaries. What's Allah? Right? B'shogeg minayin. How do we know that you're allowed to kill him? Hamalemer, the Pasuk says, if yatsa. It says a double lashon. Why does it say a double terminology? To teach me, one time to teach me is on purpose. Or even if it was by mistake, you're allowed to kill him. So you better watch where he's going. Keep his, you know, make sure he knows where he's going. Yatsa mikomakom. In any case, you're allowed to kill the Rateach. That's what our Gemara wants. I thought, Tani, what do you mean? We'd like to the Bryce.
It says, so, is that the same because it's repeating Yotza, like for emphasis? If he surely goes out, that how we understand. If he surely goes out, then we understand it to be the Mason.
Now, in the Yotza, we're just trying to lead you in. The Yotza itself is going to lead us into this thing. I mean, we just brought the fun. Tell me about it. If the Ritzeach goes out, now use a double terminology. Those are the words. Those are the opening statement to the Brice. That's the opening statement. Those are the psukim we're referring to. So, Eli Ella b'mezid. It's not to me only that he walks out b'mezid, you could kill him. B'shogei minayin. Let's say he walks out b'shogei. Tamalomer, the Pasuk teach me, im yatsa yatsa mikamakal. A double lashon, in all cases, you could always kill him. Even if he walked out b'shogei. What's the question, Fred? What's your question?
He walks out of Beis, you're saying.
Walks out of the Ari Mikla. He steps out of the Ari Mikla.
We're going
now, we're not in Eruliyah.
Listen,
all our Gemaras are never talking Eruliyah. Our Gemara we just wrote down now, before the Eruliyah, they said you don't get close to Chiddush. Our Mishnayos never spoke, we're probably never going to bring in that Shita again. We're always focusing, when you step out of bounds, we can kill you. Right. That's our Mishnah, that's the regular Shitas we've gone with. Meaning, this was in a Bryce, right? All our Gemaras until now always held that the guy who steps out of bounds is on the way to our mikvah, the Ritzeach, the Kol Adam can yes kill him. Good? Wow. Now, who could he kill? So, if he steps out on purpose, the Kol Adam could kill him. What? How do we know if he steps out by mistake, also the Kol Adam could kill him? Because it says it's double terminology. Now, what's your question?
I don't understand the
Mezid
and the Meshogeg. Why is we're not talking about the killer, we're talking about if he steps out on purpose,
correct,
or if he steps out by accident.
Good, correct.
Right.
Good. So what's your question?
Why does it say he ainly elevated? What is it that he only knows that he can kill him if he does it intentionally?
From
what
logic.
Is it
he just means in logic. It's not really the words of Yossi Yetzi. He's saying in logic, that's the possibility. In logic, I would think it's only if he stepped out amazing. It's not in the words. Ainly elevated amazing. Like Kumar's always talking about. We bring the pasta, then we start going into it. We start talking about it. This is the pasta. I only know, that's what makes sense. Logically, he stepped up and made you allowed to kill him.
No.
What about if he stepped up by mistake? No. However, you have to become a come. In all scenarios, you're left. But Tanya, but we looked at the Brisa. Frankly, what about that? We looked at the Brisa. Not like that. What does the Brisa say? The Mezi Nera. If he killed the Mezi, then you can't kill him.
No, but Mezi, he goes out on purpose, not right?
The Mezi, correct.
If
he goes out on Mezi Nera, then he could get, he gets right. Killed. He could kill him. The Shogeg, if he kills the Shogeg, good, you send him back into Golos. You're not going to kill him, you send him back home. Send him back into Golos. We have a steer in two Brises. One Brises says, if he walks out of bounds by mistakes, kill him. The next Brises says, no, send him back home. Tell him, send him back.
How would the Golos Adam is standing there. How does he know the intent of the Rotseach, whether it's the Mesa or Shogeg?
That's a good question. It could be that you wouldn't be, if you could kill him only in the case of Shogeg, you would have to make sure. You can't kill him until you're sure. If you only could kill him amazing, you have to make sure. Nachon. There is. It could even be the sheet that occurs to Rebbe Paris that you might even have to take him to Bestin first and make sure he walked out on purpose and then kill him. It's not so simple. Nachon, you're right. You hear this question? Fred, that's a good question. If you could only kill a Goel Adam who stepped out of bounds on purpose, let's say you have the Goel Adam waiting with his gun. You can't just shoot, because maybe he walked out by mistake. So he's right, it could be. If you could only kill in the case of Mezid, it could be you have to work it out. It has to come clear. Pull the best thing.
You would take him back inside.
No, take it the best
thing. Take him with a different base. Outside of the...
Either way.
Back inside the door of the Mikvah, and protect it again?
That's a good question. You're right. So pull him out. Lock him up.
Pull him out.
Right. Tie him up. Right. Pull him to different best thing. Same punt.
It's based in a car. Different base game, no?
We're in the Gemara. We're in the new Gemara. We're not in your Gemara. We're in a different Gemara.
Oh, that's pretty.
But it also says, basically, it's not so simple. You're right. It could be that if you could only kill the guy when he was stepped out on purpose, it could be you're going to have to figure it out. You can't just shoot on the spot. You're right. Correct. It could be you have to work it out. Now, if I'm tying him up, pull him to a different best and add it back up. If they figure out that it was good, let them try to figure it out. If they determine it was on purpose, then you can take your gun out. Shoot it. Maybe. Yeah, it's not so simple.
Wouldn't it have to be after goes after the 2,000 amos?
Nahon, fine, whatever bounds. Stepped out of bounds, whatever bounds. Nahon, we had a Gemara earlier, spoke to us.
Yeah,
so if the Gemara comes out here, you are allowed to come to show it's relevant.
No, Nahon, but the Gemara.
Right, right. But that's where we're going in this case.
Right.
Where you can only kill him, but maze it, and show it, you have to.
It's a kasha.
Fine, yeah, we'll see that at the end of the Gemara. Fine, right now it's a stira. One Bryce that says you could kill even if he stepped out of bounds for shagi. The other one says no, it's only if he stepped out of bounds on purpose. Fine. So why is it like kasha? Which really, why is not really going to come out like anyway? We two Bryces. So we have a contradiction in Bryces. So, but it's a problem because you brought me a pasuk which taught me that even if it's b'shege, what happened? You told me pasuk says a double terminology, im yatsa yetsa, right? What happened? You told me it says im yatsa yetsa. Give a pasuk. It says im yatsa yetsa. It says im yatsa yetsa. So why does the pasuk say double terminology? He went out. He went out. Then you could kill him. One is he went out b'shege by mistake. One would have been on purpose. Right? One would have been out by mistake. This one is on purpose. So now, what's trapped? The other Jew says no. You can only kill him if you went out of purpose, not by mistake.
Right. So
what do you do with this pasuk then?
What's it doing? So what does it do with the
extra word? The extra word of the pasuk. What's he do with it?
Not exer shav.
It's a double terminology. Not exer shav. The pasuk says in yatsa yitzi. If he goes out of the army club, then you can kill him, right? And why does it say double terminology? So the first opinion says because whether you walk out on purpose. Or even if you walk out by mistake, we can still kill him. The next thing he says, no. We only kill if you walk out on purpose. So what's he doing with this extra word then? Right? So as if not a problem, he holds the Torah's allowed to talk double lashon. The Torah can talk double terminology. He says the Torah's allowed to talk double terminology. The Torah's allowed to talk double lashon. That's the way people talk. Just like the Torah said a double terminology, that's not natural. That's the way you talk. Sometimes you talk double. Sometimes I don't do it in English so much, but usually sometimes people say a word twice, the same word twice, like the
emphasis
that they're trying to say. So they say no drasha, it's just a word that is trying to emphasize what it's saying, he goes out.
That's the answer?
That's what I was going to say, why is he going to ask? So what's
so this? They're not talking about giving the positive and then giving the negative? Like
no, it's
like
not. It's not doing it. It was simply a double lashon. Since it's a double terminology, we had a drasha. You might say, no, one of the holds, you're allowed to talk double. Let us double talk. No, you're allowed to talk double terminology, like coming to the Amazon, you're saying he went out. Maybe it's very strong lashon. But let's see what the Gemara says. Let's see what I say. So again, the Gemara had a theory. The Gemara says, like kasha, it's not a question. How come on the Amar, this is like the man the Amar who says, Amrina, we say, Divra Torah, the Torah speaks, Kilosha B'nai Adam, like the terminology of people, which means sometimes you talk double, and therefore, since you talk double, there's no room to make a drasha here from the extra word.
Where is the pasuk from? Yes.
Where is it from? It's, you can have it on the side of Gemara on pasuk ches.
What's
the text?
It's going
to be on the side of Gemara.
Oh, it's in the Chumash, you're saying.
It's in the Chumash, in Ari Mikla. Talking about the guy in Ari Mikla. The guy stepped out of his sin. Yeah. So one man, the Amar holds, Dibra Torah, Kolashim, and the other. The Torah speaks like people, which means the Torah speaks double terminology sometimes. And it doesn't mean you can make a drasha from it. That's just the way it speaks. How come the Amar like Amrina the Torah Kolash Bnei Adam? This is the Amar that you say we don't say the Torah speaks like the terminology of people. Good. Fine.
Yeah.
Good. So that's Amar's answer. If you say that the Torah does not speak like people, so why did it say a double lashon? They teach you a new halacha. If the Torah doesn't speak double, so why did they say this? They teach you a new halacha.
So that's the only place in the entire
Shas. That's the word it's saying.
So it's picking this place and the two words together to teach you.
It's not coming to teach me. It happens to me. That's what word says. Just explaining. It's not teaching me. You're telling me, what are you going to do with this word yod? What are you going to attach? Say, come on, it's an old story. If you hold the Torah speaks like people, you're allowed to speak double. There's no drasha to make. If you hold the Torah doesn't speak like people, you make a drasha. Good. Like, if the Torah speaks like people, there's no extra word here. What's like with the extra word? That's a normal way of speaking. So therefore, I don't know this halacha. If the Torah is supposed to say only one word, and this is extra. So you tell me, even someone who walks up and shows you gets killed. If the Torah talks like people, there's no extra drasha here. That's the way the Torah speaks. Fine, let's show you, there's no rasha on this, but let's show you, continue tomorrow, the rest of the next. And Abai says he wants to say it's more of a star instead of one sheep. Fine, just go ahead.
So there's no rasha?
Yeah. No rasha
right now.
This
obviously not the last one, because if he steps out, he'll kill. So, what would Akiva on this one? And he has the Galilee.
Look at the Akiva. That's Rishus. So that was Rishus, and everyone else is tied. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Your alpha and phase. We have a group of you. It's Rishus. Kind of mitzvah to kill him. It's the middle of it. So go with the middle. Don't be too extreme. You like that. Go with the middle of it. Don't be too extreme.